We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Successful media and public affairs consultant, accomplished entrepreneur and national writer and contributor, attorney who served in the Missouri House of Representatives, worked in the White House and CNN, thought leader, entrepreneur, and host who takes the conversation to the next level.
Prepare to get rare access to fascinating guests.
You're connected. You have the it factor. You've joined
Grill Nation.
Everybody over there!
Get a hold of it!
Everybody over there!
Get into it!
Connect with Jason on Twitter at Jason Grill. Connect with the show on Twitter at Grill Nation Show and online at grillnationshow.com.
Welcome your host of Grill Nation, always dressed up and ready to go, even in a radio studio. Here's Jason Grill.
Hello and welcome to the Grill Nation Show. I'm your host, Jason Grill. Thanks for joining me today on 980 AM. And if you're listening via iTunes, I greatly appreciate it on podcast today as well. Our website is grillnationshow.com, and you connect with me on social media by searching my name. I'm on Twitter at Jason Grill and at Grill Nation Show. Also on Instagram, Facebook, and all the other social media outlets, LinkedIn, just search for Jason Grill. Hope you're having a great day today. I appreciate you joining us, as always, on the Grill Nation Show. I want to, first off, thank our contributors to the Grill Nation Show. They are the KCADC and Port KC. Appreciate all of you that have supported us over the years, and I'm hopeful that we can continue to grow our supporter list and continue to provide great shows here with great guests on the Grill Nation Show on 980 AM. On today's show, we have a guest who has joined us in the past but hasn't been on the show for a while. Time does fly. Dr. Amy Patel is joining us. She's the medical director of Liberty Hospital's Women's Imaging and also a clinical assistant professor at the University of Missouri, Kansas City. Amy is all over social media. I'll have her tell people how she can connect with her, how you can connect with her. But we have a lot of interesting trending topics to discuss today, and she is a thought leader and a research guru and a leader in the healthcare space. So I'm excited to have her on the show today. Amy, how are you?
Pretty good. How are you?
I'm good. What did I miss on your bio? I've got your LinkedIn up. I know you're not always on LinkedIn. So what else do you do? I probably forgot something there.
Sure. Yes. So I'm on Facebook, of course. And then on Twitter and Instagram, my handle is at Amy K. Patel.
Awesome. Awesome. So for our listeners who weren't listening to our show back in October of 2019, you came on and talked during Breast Cancer Awareness Month. We wanted to have you on. You're kind of a reoccurring now thought leader in the industry and in the world of healthcare. Tell us about your background again so people can know your credentials.
Yes. So I am a breast radiology specialist. So I am one of those in this country that is specialized in breast health. So I essentially find the breast cancers on imaging, whether it's mammography, ultrasound, MRI. I do biopsies to diagnose the breast cancer. So really, you know, I'm sort of the front line in terms of breast cancer detection and diagnosis, and, you know, just play a role, that role in the healthcare team. So I'm a breast imaging specialist. And then in addition to that, of the other hats that I wear, I'm also an assistant professor at the University of Missouri, Kansas City, where I do a lot of teaching with a radiology residents, medical students, that sort of thing, particularly in Kansas City. But on a national scale, I'm involved with radiology political advocacy, and, you know, really working hard to make sure women have access to care, not just nationally, but working on additional legislation in the state of Missouri for our patients. So working on a lot of initiatives, lots of hats, but essentially I'm a breast imaging specialist trying to advocate for our patients.
And that's at Liberty Hospital, but also you work with other rural hospitals as well, don't you?
Correct. Yeah, so I'm actually, so in addition to being medical director of the Women's Imaging Center at Liberty Hospital, I also oversee breast imaging for six rural hospitals in Northwest Missouri. So, you know, a huge passion of mine in clinical practice is rural breast health. There are still so many disparities in this country regarding rural breast health, access to care issues, whether it's transportation, financial, the list goes on. So I really feel fervently about helping in any way I can to close the gap to healthcare disparities. And I think that stems from my upbringing. I grew up in rural Chillicothe, Missouri. It's about 10,000 people. So it really, you know, is, I hold it very close to my heart, and I, you know, work really hard every day to try to help close that gap. So, you know, wearing a lot of hats in the clinical space, but I really feel like we're making an impact in Northwest Missouri to really help a lot of women.
Mm-hmm. You've been really working hard at that. I saw one of your billboards when I was traveling to, I think I was up in Liberty or somewhere further north of Liberty, maybe last fall.
Yes.
Your picture was on a billboard.
Yeah, it was pretty neat to see that, and very exciting. It's in Excelsior Springs, actually. Mm-hmm. So, you know, it's just
important. Oh, yeah, I was driving up to the Elms for a retreat for a client, actually. I was there for a night, and I saw it, and I think I did a quick Snapchat and sent it to your brother.
Yeah. Yeah, so, I mean, any way that, you know, I can get the word out regarding early detection, you know, I try, whether it's, you know, speaking at a lunch and learn, you know, being on a billboard, whatever I can, you know, speaking on a radio show, whatever I can do to really, you know, get the word out that, you know, early detection saves lives. It's so imperative to get that annual screening mammogram. I am willing to do it.
Yes, you are. Dr. Amy Patel is our guest. Dr. Patel, you also, just for our listeners, review, you know, you kind of left Kansas City for a while. I know you went to the 6-year program at UMKC, but you went out east to a couple places. Talk to us about that and why you ended up coming back to Kansas City.
Sure. So whenever I was finished with my radiology residency, I did a 1-year breast radiology fellowship, which is essentially 1 year of educational training where you're just focused on breast cancer and breast disease so that you really can become an expert on the subject. So I completed that additional fellowship training at Washington University in St. Louis. And then after I was finished with that fellowship, you know, I really wanted to see kind of what was out there. I had done most of my training previously before that in the Midwest. So mm-hmm. I actually started practicing at Beth Israel Deaconess Medical Center in Boston, Massachusetts, which is a Harvard hospital. So I became immersed in the Harvard system, and it was, you know, a really great experience, learned a lot, different pathologic diagnoses, the patient demographics compared to the East Coast and Midwest can be quite different. So I learned a lot. And then I garnered just a lot of information, not just clinically, but administratively, et cetera. And I was able to sort of bring all that back to the Midwest to really grow our breast program at Liberty Hospital. And consequently, it has just been really flourishing. And I couldn't be more pleased to see the growth at such an unprecedented rate.
We have about a minute left in our first segment. So you're happy you came back to Kansas City, and you really are seeing a difference in what you're doing here, which is exciting. You've been able to implement a lot of things and been able to do it in your hometown, essentially.
Yes. I mean, and how many people can say that, right? So I'm so fortunate that I'm able to come home. I mean, you know, that old adage, home is where the heart is. I really there's a lot of truth in that, right? And mm-hmm. Coming home has been so wonderful for me, and I plan to stay here for a long time, for the long haul anyway.
That's awesome. Dr. Amy Patel is our guest today. We're going to be talking about some recent articles in USA Today and technology, fascinating information regarding AI in our world. And also, we're going to learn more about some of the predictions for the future from Dr. Patel and other ways that she can help you and learn more about this in the medical space. It's going to be an exciting Grill Nation show here today on 980 AM and on iTunes via podcast. We appreciate you joining us today. Thanks for listening. I'm Jason Grill, the host of Grill Nation.
This ain't a song for the broken hearted.
Welcome back to the Grill Nation Show. I'm Jason Grill. Thanks for listening today on 980 AM and on iTunes via podcast or at grillnationshow.com, where you can find links to all of our old shows as well as photos of our guests. Great show so far today. I want to thank Dr. Amy Patel, the medical director of Liberty Hospital Women's Imaging and a assistant professor at the University of Missouri, Kansas City, for joining us on the show today. Amy, you are a big Chiefs fan. It's a fun time to be a big Chiefs fan, isn't it?
Yes, I've been a Chiefs fan since I was born, and I'm so excited for this Sunday, and I just hope we can pull it off and hit the Super Bowl.
You know, it's funny what that will do for the city on the 50th anniversary of the first Super Bowl, if they can make it. This show is airing, obviously, the day before, and if you're listening via podcast, yeah, we don't know the result of the game yet as we tape, so we're our fingers are crossed, and Amy and I, Dr. Patel and I are both season ticket holders, so we are very excited, and I know Dr. Patel will be at the game, so bring us home a win, I guess I would say.
Yeah, I'm gonna try.
We can go to Miami for the Super Bowl then, so that'd be nice.
Yeah.
Amy Patel is with us again today. Now, Dr. Patel, you and I talked before the show about technology, and there's a recent article in USA Today, and other media outlets have covered this, but it's something I wanted to talk about today. I think it's kind of interesting. Google AI is kind of becoming a big thing, and this is kind of changing a little bit of way your profession works, potentially, as far as identifying breast cancer and kind of doing it in a more accurate way maybe than a human could do it with the current technology. Talk to us about what you're seeing with Google AI and what this all means. I know you guys have really kind of embraced technology at your centers, but first off, just tell us about this USA Today article and kind of give us a flyover and set the stage of what Google AI is doing.
Sure. So not only was this in USA Today, but it was reported in a lot of media outlets recently. Essentially, there was a study published in Nature, the Nature Journal, that talked about how AI Google was outperforming breast radiologists. So basically, there were six expert radiologists who interpreted 500 randomly selected cases in a controlled study. And essentially, the results demonstrated that the AI, artificial intelligence, actually outperformed the radiologists in cancer detection. So,
which is interesting. That is kind of scary, too, a little bit, right? For somebody in your field.
Well, I think that it is very exciting to see this because, artificial intelligence, in my opinion, is going to be the future of my profession of radiology. However, it's so crucial to note that we are still very, very, very early with AI research and the implications of AI in actual clinical practice. Because, the fact of the matter is, in clinical practice, situations are much more complicated. And this study particularly, there were so many sort of limitations, right? So particularly, whenever these radiologists were interpreting these mammograms, they did not separate what is known as our conventional 2D mammography technology from our 3D technology, which is the newest and latest 3D mammography technology. And there are differences in 2D and 3D mammography in general. And in this study, they didn't even separate them. We're not clear of the patient population from this study, apart from age that was demonstrated in the study. And we know that there are certain populations that are more susceptible to breast cancer, particularly those who have inherited gene mutations. It's important to note that some large cancers in the study were actually missed by artificial intelligence but caught by the radiologist. So the authors of this study do note that, AI might someday have a role in aiding in the detection of early breast cancer, but there's going to need to be a lot of clinical trials to further assess sort of the utility of this tool in medical practice. But it's still very exciting. And I think that ultimately in the future, AI will just help us what we do as breast imaging specialists and radiologists. It will just help us be better. But I don't think that ultimately it will replace us as, like I said, in clinical practice, the situations can be very complex.
That's a great thing to point out with the human element and the complexity. It's not always black and white. I see this in a lot of industries, right? There's a lot of technologies potentially changing people that do kind of more of the detection service industry type things. I like how you kind of phrase that and how you kind of said it's going to be it's a positive thing. It's not a negative. And most people in incumbency or who have great companies or whatnot kind of shy away from a lot of these new technologies instead of embracing them. I mean, we look at when ATMs happened to come about, people thought banks would never exist anymore, or there wouldn't be a need for a teller, or there wouldn't be a need for a human being. And we're seeing a lot of that being talked about with autonomous cars and logistics and with customer service and restaurants and all kinds of things. But they still have like a person who kind of is involved at some level. So even in your industry, with really high-end kind of important issues and detection issues, I mean, I think that the way that you've kind of embraced technology is important.
Yeah, I mean, we know that artificial intelligence, like I said, we really do feel it is the future of radiology. It will help us, help us in clinical practice be better in a lot of ways. I think that, particularly if you look at different country demographics. So when you look at this study, it involved both exams from the UK and from the United States. Well, we know that particularly in the United Kingdom, there's a huge shortage of radiologists. And so for them particularly, this could be very, very helpful. We don't see as much of a shortage here in this country. And of course, the healthcare systems are vastly different. But it's important to note, particularly for any sort of patient undergoing breast imaging, you really cannot replace the human element. A large part of my day is talking to patients, telling them what I see, what I'm recommending. You know, so there's a lot of that human element. And when the results come back, going over those results, what does this mean? What is the diagnosis entail? So, you know, AI can't do that. And so that human touch, that human element is so crucial to what we do as breast imagers and just cannot be replaced.
Dr. Amy Patel is with me today. And then two false positives. I'm looking at the article right now, can cause anxiety. And results show abnormalities, even though no cancer is present. That's something else to look into. And sometimes without technology, 5 in 10 cases maybe aren't seen. There's all kinds of studies by the American Cancer Society. And one thing I thought was fascinating, I saw a speech on the Kansas folks doing stuff with cancer research and whatnot. And they were saying that in 30 years ago, I think it was 49% of cancers were manageable or treatable. And now it's up to like 70%. I mean, it's still not 100%, right? And so It's kind of crazy that we've put in so much effort in technology, but yet new strands happen and there's different, I'm not a doctor, obviously, of medicine, but it's interesting to me that we've made a lot of inroads in your profession, but we still have a long ways to go. And hopefully technology can help with that.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, we've made incredible, inroods because of the sort of the collectiveness of the field. So for example, not just the technology, but the actual drugs that we're using to treat patients. So collectively, it's really helped save more lives. And, but ultimately, I think this technology, particularly with AI, and particularly with breast ultrasound, I think will really help. You talk about false positives. Well, at Liberty Hospital now, we have just introduced AI, artificial intelligence breast ultrasound. And it is showing to be very promising, particularly in the reduction of false positive results.
Yeah, talk to me about that, because we've mentioned the USA Today article, but you have a actual ultrasound tool at your breast center in Kansas City that is one of the first, if might not be the first center to use this technology. Tell me more about that, the similarities, the differences.
Yeah, absolutely. So first of all, this study that we talked about that was published in Nature focused on artificial intelligence mammography. And that is a totally different imaging modality than artificial intelligence breast ultrasound. Now, artificial intelligence breast ultrasound is, in my opinion, really going to be transformative in the field of breast imaging. And I'm very fortunate that we were able to bring this technology to Liberty Hospital. And we are the first breast center in Kansas City in the Kansas City area to offer this technology. And we're the first breast center in the entire Midwest to partner with Keos, who is the company that has devised this AI breast ultrasound technology. And it's pretty remarkable. So essentially, this tool is a machine learning algorithm that's based on essentially over 400,000 cases where it differentiates between benign and cancerous lesions. And it's showing to have a reduction in false positives of over 30%. This has been in existence in terms of the research that has been done back to 2015. And now we're seeing, you know, false positive reduction of over 30%. So for a patient, what does that mean? Well, that means less unnecessary biopsies. That means a reduction in anxiety. And, patients are really very intrigued by this. So for example, I had a patient that called me just the other day and said, I saw your article that was published by Liberty Hospital about this new AI breast ultrasound tool you have. And I am not a patient of yours, but I had a mammogram and workup done at another facility. They did a biopsy. I went through so much pain and it was horrible. And it ended up coming back benign. And I wonder if I came to Liberty and you used that AI technology on me, if it would have prevented an unnecessary biopsy.
Mm-hmm.
And consequently, you know, she switched over to us because in the future, if she's called back for something, we can use that tool to really see essentially if we need to, if she needs further testing like a biopsy.
That's right.
But I also want to note too that although it really helps us after the second opinion consult, ultimately the decision of something that's biopsied or followed up or just called benign, meaning they don't need to follow up on the finding, that comes down to me. But this AI tool can really help act as a second opinion and sort of help me with sort of my diagnostic accuracy and reaffirming already my clinical suspicion.
And Amy, we're going to talk more about that after the break. You're listening to Grill Nation Show.
I walk a lonely road, the only
Welcome back to the Grill Nation Show on 980 AM. I am your host, Jason Grill. You connect with me on Twitter at Jason Grill and at Grill Nation Show, as well as find me on other social medias, Facebook, Instagram, and the like, LinkedIn. I like connecting with the listeners and also having these great guests on the show. It's always interesting. And today is no exception to the rule if you're listening on 980 AM or on iTunes to the Grill Nation Show or at our website, grillnationshow.com. We are joined today again by Dr. Amy Patel, who is an amazing doctor in the area. She is the medical director of Liberty Hospital Women's Imaging and also an assistant professor at the University of Missouri, Kansas City. We've been talking about technology and kind of how it affects breast cancer detection and kind of what the future looks like and what they're doing at their hospital with regards to ultrasound and AI. Amy, I wanted to talk to you more about AI and medical imaging and if you have any other predictions for what we're looking at in the future in the industry, in the medical industry, but more importantly in your industry with technology.
Yeah, so, you know, like I talked about in the last segment, I really do think that artificial intelligence is the future of radiology, and not just with breast cancer detection, but also with we're seeing AI rolling out for so many other subspecialties of radiology, whether it's thyroid lesions or liver lesions. So many things to help us aid in the detection of early cancer in all different parts of the body. So it's pretty incredible to see. Like I mentioned before in the last segment, we're still very early with all of this. I mean, there's a lot of research that's going on right now, but there's going to need to be a lot of trials and clinical practice to really see the efficacy of this technology. But I mean, the fact of the matter is that particularly in this country, we have very high imaging volumes. So our volumes for radiological studies is just increasing exponentially, which is leading to radiologists working extremely hard. Burnout is a very real thing. There are implications of a radiology shortage in the future, particularly with our older radiology demographic retiring. And so having something like AI to help us in times of need and to help us be better at what we do really at the end of the day will benefit our patients. So like I said, I don't think radiologists will be replaced, but this is just going to help us at what we do better. And it's just ultimately going to help our patients even better.
Mm-hmm. Switching gears now, Amy, I want to talk to you about confusion, myths, truths around mammography guidelines. Can you speak more on what you recommend as a breast imaging specialist in these areas and kind of take us through some of the guidelines and myths?
Sure. So, you know, it's unfortunate because there are a lot of different recommendations for screening mammography based on different organizations, which then can cause a lot of confusion to patients. But it's important to note that groups such as the American College of Radiology, Society of Breast Imaging, American Society of Breast Surgeons, the American College of OB-GYNs, we all recommend annual screening mammography in average-risk women beginning at the age of 40, and you should continue to do so as long as you're in good health. But however, if you're high risk, which means you have a greater than 20% lifetime risk of breast cancer in your lifetime, we now are recommending that you receive annual screening mammography alternating every 6 months with supplemental screening in the form of breast MRI or ultrasound, starting at the age of 30 and annually. So we also now recommend that any woman of any color is risk assessed for breast cancer by age 30, because if we can identify her as being above average risk or high risk sooner, we can get her on the heightened surveillance track sooner. We do think as a breast cancer community, we're underestimating breast cancer risk in young women, particularly in this country. So that is why we are coming out so aggressively with these recommendations. And then finally, if you are between the ages of 25 and 29 and you are deemed high risk, whether you are a mutational carrier, which puts you at increased risk for breast cancer like BRCA or CHEK2 or one of those mutations, we recommend annual MRI between the ages of 25 to 29. And then when you hit the age of 30, you would start doing annual mammography, alternating with that breast MRI every 6 months.
Mm-hmm. You, one of the reasons why this is important and why you speak so much about it is because in the United States, per research, the U.S. cancer or U.S. breast cancer death rate and since 1980s has dropped in half. Talk to us about that, because that seems like that's pretty amazing with how cancer still affects folks, that the death rate has dropped in half.
Yeah,
in the last,
so,
what, that's what, 40 years? About 40
yeah,
years.
So one of the reasons why, particularly with breast cancer, the breast cancer death rate has plummeted nearly 35% is because of the advent of screening mammography programs, which came into existence in the mid-1980s. So that's why it's so important, why I stress early detection, because we have data that demonstrates that death cancer rate has plummeted because of our robust screening mammography program in this country and early detection.
Mm-hmm. How has public policy played a role in that, Amy? Because I'm imagining at some point your insurance didn't cover those types of screenings, and now they do. And that was probably a policy initiative.
Yeah. So, you know, unfortunately, in this country, not every state has legislation passed to cover mammographic screening. But in Missouri and Kansas, we are fortunate now that there is legislation, particularly in Missouri, that was passed in April of 2018, that private insurers in Missouri have to cover the cost of annual screening mammography in average-risk women starting at age 40, which is a huge victory.
But still crazy, yeah, though, Dr. Patel, that it didn't happen until 2018.
Yeah, it is pretty crazy, because the previous mammography legislation in Missouri, it had not been edited since 1992, and it only allowed coverage of women to receive a mammogram or have coverage for a mammogram every other year starting at age 50. So it was high time that we changed that. And now, you know, we're trying to make strides to cover these high-risk women, because particularly those women who are deemed high-risk between the ages of 30 and 39, you know, they usually will have to pay for their mammograms out of pocket, and that is not fair to them. These women are high-risk, we've deemed them high-risk, and they do need that coverage. So, you know, a lot of women can't afford that. So we're working on that, particularly in our state, and mm-hmm. it is not a novel concept. There are multiple other states right now that have introduced or passed legislation for high-risk women. I mentioned Colorado before, Texas, Arkansas. So there's so many states that are now sort of advocating for patients. And it's so crucial that we as specialists work with our state legislatures to essentially pass this crucial legislation. And not just at the state level. I mean, at the federal level, too, we are working vociferously with, you know, mammography, breast cancer champions. Debbie Wasserman Schultz from Florida, she is a huge advocate. She was diagnosed with premenopausal breast cancer. She is of Ashkenazi Jewish descent, meaning that they tend to have breast cancer gene mutations that put them at risk. So she's been very, very instrumental. But we've also had others across the aisle, like Senator Marsha Blackburn from Tennessee, who's been very crucial as well for women to receive mammography coverage in this country.
Mm-hmm. So it is an issue that we folks need to focus on. You mentioned it's not a novel concept. That's good to hear that a lot of other states have embraced it. And hopefully in the future, it can get down to 30 for high-risk women. But we also forget to talk about men. And I know that's been a point of yours. Not a huge sector, but there are men that could be affected with this cancer as well.
Absolutely. So, you know, 1 in 8 women will be diagnosed with breast cancer in her lifetime. In men, it's 1 in 800. So it is, you know, less common. However, I'm a very staunch proponent of men, if they do feel a lump or something abnormal on their breast, that they need to get that evaluated. Now, the vast majority of cases will end up being benign and not cancer. However, there are some men who will be more susceptible, particularly those of Ashkenazi Jewish descent, those who carry a mutation that puts them at risk, particularly men who are diagnosed with prostate cancer. Sometimes we identify them to have the breast cancer gene BRCA2, which would make them at risk for breast cancer. So those men should be, you know, receiving surveillance to ensure that we aren't missing a breast cancer in them. So it's, you know, although rare, I still think it's very important that if a man does feel a symptom, to not ignore it, and particularly if he has some sort of genetic predisposition, to please address that.
Mm-hmm. Dr. Amy Patel is our guest. She is the medical director at Liberty Hospital Women's Imaging, also an assistant professor at University of Missouri, Kansas City, and a graduate of the UMKC med program. Dr. Amy Patel, what is your website for the hospital?
If you just go to libertyhospital.org /women, it will come up to the women's health page. And or if you just Google Liberty Hospital Women's Imaging, then it'll go, you can click directly on our website, which has a lot of educational tools, videos, what we offer. We offer the full comprehensive breast imaging services, anywhere from a mammogram to MRI to MRI-guided breast biopsy. We do it all. So it's a really neat website. Check it out.
Definitely will do that. LibertyHospital.org. Great website. I'm also seeing some work you guys have done with Mizzou Orthopedics surgeons. I heard a speech from one of the founders of that organization down in Columbia. Fascinating group as well. Dr. Amy Patel is our guest. In our final segment today, we are going to talk about the My Generation campaign, and we'll get into some more fun topics with Dr. Patel. You're listening to Grill Nation.
Small things, true care, truth brings. I'll take one lift.
Welcome back to the Grill Nation show here on 980 AM and on iTunes via podcast. I am your host, Jason Grill. Appreciate you listening to the whole show today. Thanks for all of your support over the years with Grill Nation. We got some great episodes coming up, so I appreciate you sticking with us over these years. And today has been a great show with Dr. Amy Patel. She's on Twitter at Amy K. Patel. Amy, we are both Leos, I'm realizing. You're an August baby as well. Look at that.
Yes, absolutely.
Go Leos. We're outgoing. We're outgoing type A's, that's for sure.
Yes, very, very cool. We are definitely the definition of extroverted type A.
Dr. Patel is the medical director at Liberty Hospital Women's Imaging and an assistant professor at UMKC. Her website is obviously libertyhospital.org. You can search for the programs and the amazing things they're doing at Liberty Hospital and women's breast imaging there on the website. We've been talking a lot about technology, a lot about AI, a lot about guidelines. Legislation has also played a role in today's show. Obviously, you're a thought leader in the space throughout the country, and you're very involved here locally and not only in Kansas City, but also in a lot of rural areas in our state. As well, you are very excited about a new campaign that you wanted to talk about. You mentioned off air the Liberty Hospital's My Generation campaign. Amy, tell us more about that and what that's all about and how people can get involved with that.
Absolutely. So we have a very innovative and amazing campaign right now at Liberty Hospital called the My Generation campaign. And essentially, it focuses on how women of different generations, they have different healthcare needs, and Liberty Hospital can provide that care for all women. And that begins with from primary care to the birthing center, to women's imaging and mammography services, bone density scans, to even seeing a heart or orthopedic specialist. You mentioned the partnership that Liberty Hospital now has with University of Missouri with MU Orthopedics. So, what's been really remarkable to see at Liberty Hospital is it is, you know, arguably the main leading hospital in the Kansas City area that's really putting an emphasis on women's health. And going into the future, it is one of the major pillars that the hospital is going to focus on. So for women in, you know, the Northland, Northwest Missouri, Southern Iowa, I mean, this is just really fantastic for women to bring them such cutting edge care for all generations, you know, from the minute you're born up until, you know, elderly age.
Mm-hmm. And so you're going to be seeing billboards about that throughout town. Is that right?
Yeah. So, I mean, they're already, if you notice, there's some electronic billboards right now that are, showing some My Generation campaign material. And, the other day I was going down south to the plaza and I saw, you know, our My Generation, the digital billboard pop up as I was crossing the bridge. So they're already out there.
That's awesome. Liberty Hospital is offering women's health care for a lifetime, and that is part of the My Generation campaign. It's also on their website at libertyhospital.org. Amy, you work all the time. You're involved in a lot of stuff. You really put yourself out there and really do a lot of communications work, which I think is pretty interesting. Tell us about why you think that's important and just the different avenues, both that you're willing to take on from a local and national perspective.
So, for me, what I do as a breast radiologist, it's not just a
You're
job.
Different from most doctors is what I'm putting out here.
I know, maybe I'm crazy, I don't know. But, for me, it really is a lifestyle and it's a passion of mine to educate and advocate for our women. And, you know, I think that particularly as we as physicians, all physicians, they work very, very hard. It takes us a long time to get to this point and then to serve our patients. And so doing these additional advocacy outreach sort of things, you know, it's additional time and it can be difficult to do that in addition to a full clinical load, et cetera. But, you know, for me personally, I just think it's so imperative. I have this knowledge. I need to get out there. I need to educate our patients, debunk misconceptions, because ultimately I want to save more lives. And like I said, I want to close the gap to breast care disparities in our state, in this part of the country that badly, badly needs it. So for me, it really is a passion and lifestyle, and I'll continue to keep advocating and educating as long as I can.
Mm-hmm. And there's a lot of research happening, too, which I know that you're staying up to date on with regards to cancer and cancer, killing cancer, and just there's so many different things happening in that area. I've learned a lot about that over the last couple months. Their program I've done with the Civic Council with Kansas City Tomorrow, and just finding out all of the different things that are happening in Kansas City with regards to research. You know, we don't have a tier one research university per se, but we do have the power of, you work at UMKC, we have KU, we have MU, we have Kansas State. There's a lot of universities around us that are really trying their best to research a lot of these things and to help kind of find a long-term cure for all types of cancer, which is exciting.
Absolutely.
Amy, you also have some time where you can enjoy Kansas City, I hope, now that you're a full-time resident of Kansas City and Missouri. So let's talk about some of your favorite places to go and get to know you a little better. What do you like to do in your spare time in Kansas City? I know we're in the winter right now, but let's imagine that it's 60 degrees outside today, and you can do about anything you want. What are some of your favorite places to eat? Some of your favorite places maybe to hang out, and what do you like to do?
Yeah, so I have pretty diverse interests. As you already alluded to, I'm a huge Chiefs fan. I'm a huge Kansas City sports fan. So whether, you know, it's a Royals game or a Sporting KC match, I try to go if I can. I also like fine art, so I'm a season ticket holder for the Kansas City Symphony. So I really enjoy attending the symphony.
That is at the Kauffman Center?
Yes, and it's beautiful venue, absolutely beautiful. And then, you know, I actually like attending the opera. So if I didn't go into medicine, I was going to be a music major because I sing and my concentration was opera. So I'm very...
Wow, look at you. Didn't know that. I can't imagine. Was there a lot of... you might have been one of the only people doing that in Chillicothe when you were growing up.
Yeah. So my parents they're just incredible human beings, and they would drive me once a week for voice lessons in Kansas City. So it really helped me sort of craft my skills. So, you know, I was fortunate to get offered a scholarship from the UMKC Conservatory, but ultimately I got into this 6-year med program and I ended up choosing that for my career choice.
Do you like sports and art? What about restaurants? Where do you like to go out to eat? Anything new you've been to lately?
Yeah. So, you know, I really enjoy, there's just so many great restaurants in Kansas City. So I like to try, you know, I really like Corvino, mm-hmm. particularly the Tasting Room. It's just one of my favorite places to go.
They really have a good thing going there, I think.
They do. And even, you know, some of the ones that have been in existence for a while, you know, I love La Bodega. I think it's delicious. Spanish tapas are definitely my thing. We have an incredible Mexican in town. I mean, Grozzo's Italian, you know, obviously that is
very traditional.
Classic. Yeah, very traditional. And then the barbecue, I mean, gosh, that was one of the reasons why I wanted to move back was the Kansas City barbecue. So love, you know, Q39, Jack Stack, you know, all the Joe's KC barbecue, you know, I'm eating there quite a bit. If you want to find me, go to one of the barbecue joints.
You are getting your fill of barbecue, and that's something that I need to do more of. I haven't done it as much. I indulge in it very rarely, but when I do, I realize, man, I know how much I love burn-ins. Dr. Amy Patel has been our guest. She is all over the internet. She's on LinkedIn. She's on Twitter at Amy K. Patel. She's on Facebook. The Liberty Hospital is at libertyhospital.org. Again, the My Generation campaign is exciting, and they're doing all kinds of cool, innovative, new technology things over at Liberty Hospital and in her division as medical director of the Liberty Hospital Women's Imaging Center. Dr. Patel, I appreciate you coming on the show today, and thanks for your knowledge that you share with us once in a while here on the Grill Nation Show.
Absolutely. Thank you.
Thank you very much, and thanks for listening to the Grill Nation Show. We'll see you again next week. Have a great day, and we'll talk to you soon. Take care. I don't practice Santeria. I ain't got no crystal ball.
I had $1 million, T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.